We've been in Mongolia this week, a country whose economy has grown dramatically thanks to mining. In recent years, Mongolia has been mining a fortune in copper, coal, and gold, minerals that are in great demand by its neighbor to the south, China.
And as new mines open, they're providing good jobs in a country where a third of the people scrape by on just over $1 a day.
NPR's Frank Langfitt traveled to the middle of the Gobi, a region that's a mix of desert, mountain, and grassland. He brings us this story from one of Mongolia's massive mining operations.
Onkar Maiku spends 12 hours a day behind the wheel of this 60-ton dump truck. She hauls dirt from a giant open pit at Oyu Tolgoi, which in a few years is expected to become one of the world's largest copper mines. Onkar says for her, the job is a great fit.
I love machinery. I love technology. For example, when I was in ninth grade, when I wasn't legally old enough, I learned to drive.
Onkar is a 22-year-old single mom with a 5-year-old son. She wears a white hard hat, gold hoop earrings, and lip gloss that sparkles. When she started here 2 years ago in the mine's cafeteria, she made just $96 a month. Today, as a truck driver, Onkar brings in close to $1,400 a month.
I just got a loan on my salary and bought a little plot of land. When my son is older, I want to move into Ulaanbaatar and buy an apartment, and I want my son to go to school there.
Onkar is among thousands of young Mongolians who've come here to improve their lives. Oyu Tolgoi, which means turquoise hill in Mongolian, is more than 300 miles south of the capital, Ulaanbaatar, but it might as well be in the middle of nowhere. The mine camp is a self-contained city of around 14,000, surrounded by the lunar landscape of the Gobi. The neighbors are mostly camels, goats, and sheep. Weather here features sandstorms, tornadoes, and temperatures that drop to 40 below in winter and soar to 135 in the summer. In the evenings after work, miners play outdoor basketball and ping pong inside a Quonset hut. From 7 to 9, the camp bar serves beer by the case beneath black lights. The clientele ranges from young Mongolian women just out of college to grizzled 50-something miners from Australia.
My name is Tsirungachur, but lots of people call me Augie.
Augie is a mine superintendent. He's directing workers to dig a nearly 5,000-foot-deep shaft straight down to reach the copper ore. Oyu Tolgoi is owned by two big international mining companies, Rio Tinto and Ivanhoe. Augie says they provide great on-the-job training for Mongolian workers.
Like 19 years old guys came here like 5-6 years ago. Now they became just like international like miners. And they can operate like every single like latest technology in the underground. And those guys are fantastic.
People work long stints at Oyu Tolgoi.
Now I'm on rotation just like 56 days here and then 14 days back home. The difficult thing is like living like far away from your home. And now I've got like a 5 months old baby, okay? I just like miss her so much, eh?
Augie makes about $24,000 a year, good money in Mongolia. Privately, though, Mongolians complain foreign workers from Canada and Australia with similar skills make at least 3 times more. Mining provides opportunities for Mongolian workers, but it also siphons away talent from other important industries, like tourism.
We lose at least like 4 people a year.
Batbayer Amgalenbayer runs Mongolian expeditions and tours. He says mining companies routinely poach his best drivers and translators. Mongolian Expeditions offers everything from horseback riding trips to winter kite skiing. Batbayer has already had to turn away business this year because he couldn't staff some trips.
I had to turn down just jeep tours, then I had to turn down canoeing tours, trucking tours. Yeah, so this is something that never happened before.
Workers in the Gobi who can't hire on with mining companies often strike out on their own. Mongolia has an estimated 70,000 illegal gold prospectors. They're called ninjas, either because they carry pans on their backs and resemble the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or because they cover their mouths and heads with bandanas and look like real ninjas. I've been driving through the desert for a couple of hours and have just come across kind of a remarkable scene, something out of the California Gold Rush. There are scores of people here in this very craggy ravine with pickaxes, shovels, drills, jackhammers, you name it, and they're digging all these holes, prospecting for gold. The ninjas use metal detectors to find a good spot and then dig away with shovels and power drills. They sift the soil and pick through the rocks to find scraps and nuggets of gold. I met a 30-year-old miner named Bat Bildik. We're finding lots of gold, he says. Indeed, miners display their haul pouring small yellow rocks out of tiny white pill bottles. They say they can sell an ounce for about $150. Bat Bildik says he's been mining for 2 or 3 years. It's quite good. Last year, I made nearly $4,000, he says. Before that, I used to be a herder. My livestock all died out. Fatbold Bodrock is hovering over his mine, a 4-foot-deep pit. He wears a gray cap and a lined face that looks a decade older than his 42 years. Fatbold served as a soldier when Mongolia was a Soviet satellite in the 1980s. He's struggled since.
I did look for jobs, but now I'm over 40 and no one is going to hire me anyway.
Fatbold has applied to work at mining companies.
I tried with OU Tolgoi, but they won't hire me. First of all, my health is not good enough for them, and I have a family, and I can't leave them for a year.
Batbold can't lift heavy objects because he has a bad back. But here, deep in the Gobi, he can still manage to run a sifter. That seems to be enough for the three other members of his ninja crew, and it's the only way Batbold can get a small piece of the action in Mongolia's mining boom. Frank Langfitt, NPR News.
You can find this story and the rest of our series on Mongolia, including some stunning photo slideshows from NPR's John Poole at NPR.org. Tomorrow in the final installment, Frank Langfitt visits a goat herder in Gobi whose son has taken a job in the mines.
Young people have stopped herding animals. There's lots of employment opportunities for them in the mining business and a lot of other stuff. Therefore, I could probably say that the generation of herders is ending with me.